If you have your Bibles, turn me to Acts chapter 10 as we go through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter. Last week, as we were together, we looked at the law, why the law was given. God had called a man Abraham and then added rules and regulations and laws through Moses. And Moses would redeem the nation of Israel out of bondage through Pharaoh. But he couldn't bring them into the promised land because it was a picture of the law. The law was to show man that they could not enter the presence of God. And you know the story. Joshua comes and he leads the nation into the promised land. Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus in the Greek. Jesus comes and he fulfills the law, which just gives us access now to the kingdom of God through his blood. And so we've looked at the law not being done away with because Jesus came, but fulfilled because Jesus came. And now, because it was fulfilled by Christ, it has now been abolished, and now we live under a new covenant based upon the grace of God. The law was given to show man how he would enter the presence of God through cleansing, washing, sacrificial ceremonies, but they were just a picture of what Jesus would fulfill when he came and died on the cross. Now, we asked the question, do we obey the Ten Commandments? And we said yes, because it shows the character of God. They asked Jesus, what are the greatest among the commandments? And he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that is the completion, the fulfillment of the law. The first five is about your relationship with God. The second five commandments is the relationship to man. And so we do hold on to the truth because it shows the characters of God. But if we fail, if we fall, if we sin, we have an advocate, the high priest, Jesus Christ, who speaks on our behalf, who forgives us our sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them no more. Isn't that wonderful? And so we're introduced to a man named Cornelius. Just to recap, he is a Gentile. He's a Roman centurion. He's a commander. He's a honest, good, God-fearing man. He knows of God. He is praying to God, but he's not saved. He doesn't know about Jesus. And he's a Gentile. And he has this dream as he's praying to God. Notice his religion that he knows doesn't save him. But God hears his prayer, and he has this vision to send for Peter, to bring Peter. At the same time, Peter is praying. He's on his roof, and he has a vision as well. And it's a vision of this sheet with all kinds of animals, and we've gone over that before, unclean animals and clean animals. And in the vision, the Lord tells him to eat, and he says, not so, Lord, could you imagine? But I have never eaten anything that was unclean. And then he tells us, let man not say anything is unclean that God has cleansed. Paraphrasing. Let it not be common what God has made clean. And so he says, go ahead and eat of these things. And it's a picture of the fulfillment of the law through Christ. He has fulfilled everything, no longer based on restrictions and regulations. But now we're free in the Lord. Well, Pastor, what does that have to do with the Gentiles? Well, we've read where it says God had told him that what God has said is clean, let man not say is unclean. And so he brings a contingent, Cornelius, to Peter, and as Peter is praying, these guys are at his door. And he says, well, what are you here for, right? You remember what we talked about. And they explained, hey, you know, Cornelius had a vision, come and see. It was confirmed by his vision. So he goes and he realizes it's about the Gentiles, what God has called clean. Let man not say is unclean. Gentiles were outcasts, unclean in the presence of the Jews. They were not accepted by God, and now they're going to be brought into the kingdom of God. And that's you and I. Once apart from the true and living God, because of our sin, God, Jesus Christ, through his blood, has brought us to come together into the kingdom as one, to be with him. And so here Peter comes, and He goes into the house and he says, you know, why have you sent me? For what reason, verse 29, for what reason have you sent me? And Peter senses God has led him to the Gentiles, but he still doesn't understand that he will share the gospel with them. And so like us, we don't always understand why our situations are like they are, why God brings people into our lives, but the one thing that we know we are called to do is to make disciples, to bring the truth of the gospel. And so Peter is faithful. He goes. And Cornelius says, we're all here, friends, family, the whole household before God, to hear all the things commanded you by God. And this is the key to the kingdom, the gospel of Christ, the truth of the gospel, that man has sinned. And Jesus has paid man's sin on the cross. And if we would believe in him, we would have eternal life. That is the gospel. That is the key to the kingdom. That was what Peter said. You are the Christ, the Savior. And so now the truth is brought to the Gentile world. Show us truth God has given you, they're telling Peter. And God sends Peter to declare the truth. And the truth, listen, is nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. It is no religious system. It is no religious order. It is faith, and faith alone in Jesus Christ. So we'll pick it up in verse 34 through 43. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went out about doing in good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is who was ordained by God to judge, to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remissions of sin. Our remissions of sin. Our sins are forgiven. Whoever believes in Christ. Peter recognizes that God's grace isn't limited to the Jews. First came to the Jews, but now in fulfillment of the scriptures, it goes to the Gentiles. And he says, I perceive that God shows no partiality. This is the foundations of God's grace. It is open to all. The Old Testament foretells this, and we mentioned these last week, Isaiah chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 32, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Speaks of this, that God would save the Gentiles. And Peter recognizes two key principles here. Number one, God's word originally was given to the Jews. He is the King of the Jews. In fact, they put it over the cross when he was crucified. He has come King of the Jews. But the nation of Israel has rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And so they have been blinded now for a season to the truth. Salvation now has come to the Gentiles. And through the Gentile church, the word of God will be spread. Now, he hasn't forgotten them. He hasn't cast them out of the kingdom. He has a plan for them. After the rapture, the harpazo of the church, everything then turns back to the nation of Israel. He'll have 144,000 Jewish evangelists will go out during the time of the tribulation and preach the good news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one they crucified was the Messiah, is the Messiah, and he's waiting for them to come to him. We have been grafted in. We have been adopted. You know what the wonderful things about adoption is? that you're actually really, really, really wanted. When someone is adopting a child, the desire to have that child with all the flaws that come with it is a wonderful thing. And God has adopted us into his kingdom in spite of all our failures and flaws. How many have no flaws in here? Raise your hand. Lying is a sin too, so that could be a flaw. Everyone has flaws. And the interesting thing about the relationship with the Lord is he knew about all our flaws beforehand, and yet he still says, I want to be with you forever. And that should be so encouraging to us today. Because as we, you know, get older, we get smarter, hopefully, and we realize we don't know all the things that we thought we knew, right? And we have a long way to go, but not a lot of time to get there. And so our hope is in trusting in God to fulfill all that he has in our life. We're going to see that they're going to try to kill Peter, but God saved him for such a time. And there'll come a time where he's taken home. You know, we have a limited time here on earth that God has called us and chosen us to be his witness on earth. And when that time that he has ordained is over, he'll call you home. He'll take you home, some very young, some very old. So we must make the best of the times that we have. And so here, Peter is trusting the Lord. He has witnessed the resurrection we saw. He has eaten with Jesus after the resurrection. He knows he's alive. And so he trusts in the one, Savior Jesus Christ. Even though, listen, it sounded contrary to his religion and his traditions. However, it had always been written there in the Word. It had already been foretold in the Old Testament that salvation will come to the Gentiles. And so God beforehand had told it. Only the true and living God knows the future before it happens. And he writes it down for us to know. And so isn't it wonderful that he fulfills his promises? Not just some of them, but all of them. So we recognize that the word of God originally has come to the Jews. But number two, Jesus is Lord over all Jews and Gentiles. Now, we may disagree in so many different things, even in Christianity. But God wants us to be one in him. He has saved us all, those who believe. So Peter shares this gospel, providing them with truth that brings salvation, completing their desire to know God. What was their desire? To know God, the true and living God, to know the truth. How does he bring the truth? He brings them the word of God, what God had told him, what God had commanded him. God anoints Jesus with the Spirit, and God was with him. So Peter plays a part in their salvation. You may play a part in someone's salvation because perhaps you brought them to church, or you've given them a tract, or you've told them about your life history. You may never see them again. It may be just a one-time introduction, traveling on an airplane. You got to talk to somebody. You told them about your life. You'll never see them again. But the seeds that you had planted and your witness for Jesus Christ may have been the very thing that God used to save them, to bring them to salvation. Isn't that wonderful? And the interesting thing about it is we'll never know that. But God knows. Now, you've heard me talk about before on the radio, we weren't sure who was listening because we'll never have those facts to know who's tuned in. But we had a guy show up at church one Sunday morning, and he asked me, are you Pastor Ken? And I said, yes. And he says, well, I've been in the Broward County Jail for 13 months. I got saved. I've listened to every one of your programs, and all the people in the jail are listening to your radio station. Now, it's not my radio station, but our radio station, the Lord's radio station. But what a wonderful confirmation to know that God is working and I didn't even know it. Matter of fact, I was questioning, does anybody listen? Because we don't know, right? And God was doing a mighty work. What enabled that mighty work? Faithfulness. Coming and doing what God has called us to do. This is what Peter's doing. Peter's coming and he's being faithful and he's following the Lord's direction in spite of all the conflict that he had internally. Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And what we're going to see conflict among his fellow believers as well. So God anointed Jesus, an important truth. Jesus operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's encouraging us as well. Same access for us, encouraging one another. Encouraging. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God. Remember at the baptism, the Spirit came upon him. Jesus submitted himself unto the Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Same thing for us. We operate by the power of the Holy Spirit, not my will, Lord, thy will be done. When God instructs us to go, or there's a calling in your life, or there's a word from the Lord for you to do something specific, we need to be faithful. We need to do it. And God will accomplish what he has as we're faithful. So Peter attributes Jesus' death to the Jews. Why? Why doesn't he say, well, the Roman soldiers did it? Well, he's in a Roman soldier Gentile's house. And so he said the Jews killed him, you know, the Jews that had killed him. Verse 40, him God raised up. And so who raised Jesus? Well, here God the Father raised him in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit in John 2, Jesus. So we see the whole Trinity involved in here. The three are one. And not to all the people, but to the chosen witnesses. So he wasn't revealed to everyone. The truth was revealed to the witnesses. In Corinthians 15:6, the resurrected Christ was witnessed by 500 people. In addition to those who ate with the resurrected Christ, which Peter was certainly one of them. So God had chose who he would reveal himself to, and he commanded us, the disciples, to preach and to testify. What are we supposed to do? Preach and to testify. He's reminding Peter himself of his commission to preach and testify in Romans, or actually in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my what? My witness. You will receive power to tell people what happened in your life. It is Jesus Christ. You will receive power, and you have received power by the Holy Spirit, to speak the things of God. Apart from the Spirit of God, you're not able to speak the truths of God. They're foolishness to those who don't believe. In verse 42, and he commanded us, disciples, to preach and testify to judge he who has ordained by God, that is Jesus, to be a judge of the living and the dead. And so Jesus is the judge over all. He is the Savior over all. He knows everyone. He knows beforehand who will come to his saving grace. Jesus will judge all. John 5:22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So think about it. In the Old Testament, when the Jewish people disobeyed God's law, they were punished. They were cursed. And if they obeyed God's law, they were blessed. Well, under the new covenant, through the blood of Christ, the law was fulfilled so that when we disobey God, we're not judged or cursed here on earth, right? We're not judged or cursed, but Jesus will be the final judge. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will ultimately judge. Judgment for the believer, were we faithful? Not a judgment unto salvation, not a condemnation. He'll certainly judge our works, but for the non-believer. And I think one of the things in heaven or hell that they're going to hear constantly is the gospel that was given to them. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm just thinking the worst thing that could ever happen is remembering, oh, I should have done that. I should have believed. If I only listened. Resentment, right? If I only did what they told me to do. Jesus will judge. Now, we try to manipulate people into the kingdom of God now. Just come and your life will change. Everything will be great. Just come to Jesus. We come to Jesus on his terms. And he says it's a narrow way. It's a narrow gate. And it's difficult. Why? Because we have to die to ourselves to come to Christ. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit gives us the power, listen, to do that, to set aside my fleshly desires, to reckon them as dead and to live for Christ. It's difficult, wouldn't you agree? Of course, the old me wants to come up. The old me wants to respond with those four-letter words. But the Holy Spirit has given me self-control. And now I walk in the Spirit with Christ. And I have the mind of Christ. Why? Because my will is His will. His will is my will because we're walking in communion with God. But when I'm not, I'm walking in sin. I miss that fellowship with the Lord. I'm walking on my own ways. Now the world will constantly do that, and they will answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who came and died on the cross for their sins. He will judge. And so He calls out for us to be His witness, to tell the world that what's coming? Judgment is coming, just like in the days of Noah. What was the message? Repent, for judgment is coming. Jesus is not coming as a babe in a manger. He's coming as a king on a horse to judge the living and the dead. But isn't it wonderful? For those who believe, we walk in peace now and for all eternity because we are His. And we are on His side, and He is on our side. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. I have no fear of what is to come. There will be a time of wrath and upon the earth because it's rejection of Christ, but the believer is not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. We have peace with our Maker, access through His throne. We stand in grace with Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Because if it was up to me, I would have been out the door a long time ago. Because I fail, and so do you. But God is a forgiving God. And this is the message that He's bringing to Cornelius. Cornelius realizes all the things that he's doing and this adoration for God, he doesn't have that total peace. It hasn't come yet until now. While Peter, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking the words, the Holy Spirit fell all on those who heard the word. And those of circumcision, which are the Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should be not baptized, whom have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to stay a few days. So think about this. These Jews that had followed Peter, there were six of them, were astonished. First of all, they probably didn't understand what was going on because Peter was learning as he's going, right? Why am I here? He's told. They've asked them to tell him everything that God has told him. He just sends them the message. We're messengers. We're bringing the message. We don't have to get angry. Let's walk in peace. Tell people about Jesus. Jesus is going to do the work, not you. Right? He brings the word to them. And while he is bringing the word, words, plural, the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them. They're saved. They have come to the saving grace of Christ. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. Filling of the Holy Spirit. This can only happen to Christians. The Spirit of God will only come to the Christian who believes. Who believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. As Peter is speaking the words. He's not manipulating them with entertainment, with a band. Coaxing them into the kingdom. Making promises that he can't fulfill. He's bringing the word of God that was told to them, the gospel of Christ. And as he is speaking, remember, God has worked out this whole thing. He has organized everything. That on that particular day, he would be praying. He would have a vision. The word would come to them. Peter at the same time has a vision. All of this is orchestrated at the very perfect time. God knows every day of your life before it happens. It's already written down. That's his foreknowledge, right? And he knew that Peter would come, that Peter would be faithful, that they would come and be saved. Peter's faithfulness was bringing the truth, bringing the word of God to them. And the Holy Spirit falls upon them. How were they filled? It says they fell upon all those who heard the word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. As they heard the word, they believed. This is the process, right? And as they believed, the Spirit comes in and it comes upon them. So first is the hearing of the word. As we listen to the word of God, the Spirit of God gives us the power to believe. And as we believe, the Holy Spirit then enters in and upon. This has simultaneously happened here. We've seen it happen separately in other places. But it doesn't precede salvation. It has to come first, right? Belief has to come first before the Holy Spirit comes and empowers them. What a beautiful picture we see here. Peter and his companions are absolutely astonished. Why? Well, remember, their religion and their traditions told them something different. The word was always there, but they didn't know that. And so now revelation to Peter comes. They witness it, and they're astonished. Wow. Now, they come to believe, but certainly there needs to be that time of refreshing, right? So what happened at the end there? They come to know and believe in Christ. Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that they should not be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit just as we have?" That happens, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. But here's what it says at the end. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. They're asking for fellowship. "No, don't leave, Peter. We want to know more. Tell us more." That was my experience after I got saved. I had so many questions. Although coming from a Catholic background, knowing the basic gospel of Christ, thinking that through the religious system I was saved, but I was absolutely lost. And then when I came to the saving grace of the Lord, like them, I needed to know more. And I began to ask and question everything. What else don't I know? And it's interesting, the more you study the scriptures, the more you learn. The more you learn, the more you want to know. It's the quenching of the water. The living water continues to fill us. And the more I learn, the more I want to tell. And the more I tell, the more I want to go. And the more I want to go, the more I want to do for the Lord. And it's just the filling of the all in all. It's excitement about the Lord. But it's in creating fellowship, relationship with them. So they asked Peter to stay. Now, we all want to tell people about the gospel, right? But there's so much opposition sometimes. Certainly traditions, right? So we got to be careful. When I say be careful, we got to be tactful. So I met a young man the other day in his mid-20s. He's at my house working on some appliances, and I saw on his phone that he had the Virgin Mary as a picture on his phone. He had a cross, and he had rosary beads. So he had it all, right? And I had asked him, "Hey, what church do you go to?" And he told me, and we began to talk. Really nice guy. And he said something about praying to Mary. And I says, but you guys don't believe in that. I said, "Well, no, it's not biblical." And he gave me this look like, "I don't know about that. You know, my priest told me it is." And so right off the bat, I saw that there was a conflict. Well, what I didn't do was say, "Well, the Bible says this, and you should believe that," because I'll never have another conversation with this man if I do. So I opened up the Bible, and I started reading that there is no mediator between God and man except Jesus Christ. So I don't have to go through a religious system to get to God. I don't have to go through Mary. As a matter of fact, I can't go through Mary. And he was listening, but he couldn't comprehend what I was saying because it was in conflict with his traditions and his religion. Because he's dedicated to his traditions and his religion, but he's wrong. But how could you say that, Pastor? I didn't say it. The scripture says it. So we go to the word, but we have to be tactful. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, "God's always with you and don't you forget." No, he says, "Look at the sparrows. Not one of them falls to the ground unless God knows about it. And you're even more important than the sparrows." Notice the difference. And so I gave him one of my Secret Service coins. It has Michael the Archangel on one side, and then has a Secret Service emblem on the other. And they believe that St. Michael's the archangel of law enforcement. So I gave it to him, and he was just astonished because it was a saint there that he probably prays to. And I kept reading him some scriptures. That just opened up a door of conversation. We're not on the same page yet. And I began to read it, and here's what he says, and here's what they all say. They all say this: well, I don't know the Bible that much as you do. And in that is the problem. So we need to create those relationships with people. We need to be tactful with people. We need to be gentle with people. Just because you proclaimed it doesn't mean they understood it or have accepted it. So we need to be tactful. Again, look to what Jesus did. Consider the lilies, right? Consider the sparrows. Not one of them falls. You're even greater than one of the sparrows. God knows everything about you. And here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. To correct, rebuke, and encourage. And all three of those can come at different points in someone's conversation, right? And here's what he says, and this is what I want you to capture. So the beginning is that preach the word, and then at the end of it, with great patience and careful instruction. Wow. Because that's what he did with me. God gave me great patience. I want to demand people get saved. And we want to demand them understand the truth. We want to demand them because we've proclaimed it to understand prophecy. It doesn't happen that way. It's done with great patience and careful instructions. We're students of the word, and it may take more time for me to comprehend it than it does you. And remember that. Great patience and careful instructions. How many have great patience? None of us do, right? We all need to go to God. Listen, Lord, I've told this person 100 times. They're still not listening. Great patience. He doesn't understand. Careful instructions. Great patience. And we have teachers in the room. Great patience and careful instructions. And we need to do that in the things of God over and over and over again. We all need to be reminded of the hope in Jesus Christ, the blessed hope in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness in Jesus Christ, the promises that will yet happen. They come from Jesus Christ. Some people have been told not to listen, not to go there, not to believe the Protestant faith. They don't even know who Martin Luther was. They don't know anything other than what they've been told. They haven't studied, haven't read. So for me to tell this kid, oh, you shouldn't wear that, that's wrong, I'll never have an opportunity to talk to him again. And in the conversation, he got the gospel. I said it's not about a religious system through a priestly system. We have one mediator between God and man, it's Jesus Christ. We have all sinned and fallen short of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be saved. And those who believe in him would have eternal life. And I talked to him about the temple veil, the Holy of Holies, separating man from the presence of God, was ripped from top to bottom. Jesus is that veil. He is the door into the kingdom of God. And through him, we can get saved. This guy didn't comprehend it, but he was so happy that I gave him the coin that he hugged me. Now, I'll have the conversation, I pray, to talk to him again. He got the gospel. I showed him some of the error. But I was giving what Paul tells us, great patience and careful instruction. And we all need to do that. We all want to minister to people. We all want to evangelize. We want to be witnesses, because that's what we talked about from the very beginning. Go and make disciples. But Jesus is our example. Now, there may be times to turn the tables up too, like he did with righteous anger. But when we interact with people, they want to know more. They want to understand, especially new believers. When a plant sprouts from a seed, it's in its most dangerous part of its life. Why? It could be eaten by insects immediately. It could be stepped on. Rain could flood it. So it needs to be cared for. So a new believer, or someone who's coming into the faith, or somebody who has been taught all this stuff, needs to be taught with careful instructions. We need to cuddle them and be careful not to put too much on them. Let them digest the things that I said. He said, I haven't read the Bible as much as you. And I said, well, it's all right before us. It's all been written. And in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul tells us, don't go beyond the word. He's written it for us. We don't have to look for something super spiritual, super religious, because everybody's looking for that. He's given us the truth in his word, and we can rest on that. It is the foundation of our faith. They're astonished. They heard them speak with tongues. And the purpose of this, it's a visible proof that God accepts the Gentiles. Remember, this happened to the Jews as well. They're doing the same thing that we did. Look what God has done. They heard them speak in tongues. The Gentiles are partakers of the same spirit as the Jews. Notice the fruit. What did they do? They magnified God. Magnified God. Gave God praise. Gave God glory. That everyone looked at them and said, wow, look what God has done. He has brought salvation to the Gentiles. Now, this is a big deal. In the time, in the realm that we're talking here, this is a huge big deal because you couldn't even go into someone's house where you were considered unclean. He not only goes in their house, he's going to eat with them. He's going to eat with them. So that's a no-no too, right? They've been accepted. We have been accepted into the kingdom of God. And what a beautiful truth. Our life now magnifies God. The gifts that we're given always glorify God. And even in the gifts, we're still teachable, right? Oh, we always have to be teachable. We may say, you know, I got this. Look at what I can do. Look at all the wisdom God's giving me. No. You might not be presenting it kindly with great patience and careful instructions, right? Because nobody knows what you're talking about. They may be amazed at all the wisdom you have, but are you approaching it with great patience and careful instructions and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in the lives of people? That's why we just got to be at peace, love, and compassion with people around us. So the Gentiles are saved. And Peter baptizes them. And then they ask him to stay for a few days. The Gentiles invite the Jews to fellowship. The Jews accept this. And now the Gentiles are included in the body of Christ and will affect the course of the church's future. You and I stand here today because of what God has done through his grace at this time right here in our text. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. That's you and I. And I'm so thankful that you're here today, that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because we know for sure, because these things are written, that we would know that we have, listen, eternal life. No matter what happens to us, whether we live or die, we live for Christ. If we die, we gain. We're with the Lord forever. So we do not fear death. We do not fear man. But we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk with him and to be his witness.